Hello, this is Regina, and I am here for the 7 Steps to Awakening. And tonight I'm going to begin with quote 736. And if you want to read along with me in my journal, the way to get to that quote is to go to rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And the 7 in that title is just the digit 7. It's not spelled out. So rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And once you get there, you'll see along the top a little menu bar. You'll just point at step 3 on the menu bar. And then choose I. I lets you go to the journal entries for 726 to 750. And once you choose I, you'll be able to find your way to number 736. And that's where we're starting today. This was written on June 20th, 2013. Now, I'm doing this a little differently today. I have a confession to make. In time, this is not Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Time. I'm not going to be here this coming Sunday. And recently, I missed a couple of other Sundays because I was in Ireland, and I just didn't feel like not providing a new 7 Steps teaching. So I'm sitting here in my office, comfortable on my purple sofa with a cup of coffee, doing a 7 Steps teaching all by myself. And then I'm going to give this recording to Ken to play in the sanctuary on Sunday night during my usual slot. So I'm going to play some music like I always do. But I am at my purple sofa and not at my desk with my speakers, so it may sound a little different. But it's a short little song, and I think that will be okay. And again, the real purpose of the song is just to get kind of grounded, centered, and, you know, it's like a prayer to get ready for the teaching that is about to come for me and for you, I suppose. But for me, that's why I play the song. So the song I'm going to play is by a group called The River's Voice, and the name of the song is Behold, an Ancient Voice is Coming.
Behold, behold, an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, over the sky. An ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold,
behold, behold. An ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, over the sky. An ancient voice is calling us. Behold, 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 behold. An ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold.
So it looks like I got the title wrong. I said, Behold, an Ancient Voice is Coming. And it's, behold, an ancient voice is calling us. So I did something this morning that I usually do not do at all. I peeked to see what the quote and journal entry was. Just a quick little peek. And I usually don't even do a quick little peek. So when I typically read the quote and the journal entry while I'm teaching, you know, I haven't even peeked at it yet. So everything is 100% spontaneous. And today, for some reason, I peeked. But I'm glad I did, because as soon as I peeked, I realized that I was also going to want to share from Michael Langford's autobiography, Man on NASA. And so I was able to get that book and get it open to the right pages. So I was really happy that I peeked. Let me share the quote with you. This is quote number 736, which is in step 3, and it's coming from the Yoga Vasistha. The non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions, this should be experienced. And I just realized I didn't actually peek at the journal entry. I only peeked at the quote. I don't know what the journal entry says about this. And we'll look at that later. Let me read the quote again. The non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions, this should be experienced. Gosh, you know, I had forgotten. This morning at some point, it was before I actually woke up. Last night was kind of an interesting night. I don't know what was up with Jamie the dog. But she got up multiple times in the night and wanted to go outside. I was even wondering if maybe she'd killed a rabbit out there. She knows I'm talking about her now. She lifted her head and is looking at me. I was wondering if she'd killed a rabbit out there or if she was having, like, you know, bathroom problems, pooping problems. Because multiple times, I mean, maybe 6, 7, 8 times, she wanted to go outside. And when I would tell her, you know, no, Jamie, you know, after I let her out a couple times, I started saying, no, Jamie, lay down. And she was highly, highly, highly insistent. So last night was an interesting night, in that, you know, my sleep was very on and off. In fact, this is why I'm at 8 o'clock in the morning with a cup of coffee instead of 5 o'clock in the morning with a cup of coffee, because I did sleep until around 7:15. Today, which is much later for me. But I had a lot of very small periods of sleep rather than one fairly long period of sleep. And during one of these small periods of sleep, pretty early in the morning, you know, like closer to the time I usually get up, around 5:30, something like that. Just as I close my eyes, I felt the mind go silent. It didn't last. I mean, when I got up this morning, the mind was back to being the mind. But I felt that mind go silent. And I gasped. I mean, I had just experienced the most beautiful thing in the world. So the only thing that I really heard was my gasp. And then I think I fell asleep, maybe. And then there was another one of these short little bursts of sleep. After I had gotten up to let Jamie out or let Jamie in, whatever had happened. And as soon as I closed my eyes, I saw a multitude of stars in the sky. You know, like it was the clearest, darkest night that I have ever experienced. And there were just stars everywhere. Except I might have been in space rather than on the earth looking at these stars, because they were on my side as well. And then there was this sense of expansion, where I was the universe or the space that the stars were in. Two nice little experiences. I also had some crazy dreams last night, so including a dream that Jamie went insane and was attacking me, and I was like, oh no, what am I going to do with this? You know, is it time to put her to sleep? So there was also just some crazy stuff last night. But when I woke up this morning, I remembered the crazy dream. There was also another dream about Jamie. I suppose I was dreaming about Jamie because she was waking me up all night long. The other dream about Jamie was that I lost her at a dog park. So two dreams about Jamie last night. And when I woke up this morning, I remembered the dreams about Jamie. You know, I remembered those, but I did not remember those two experiences that I just told you about that actually didn't really happen while I was dreaming. They happened when I closed my eyes. And it wasn't until I just now read the quote for you that I remembered those two experiences, the non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions. This should be experienced. When I read this quote, the other thing that I'm reminded of is Michael's sharing on what he calls Manonasa, which I believe is a Sanskrit word. It means mind death or mind annihilation, which would be the true or the total awakening. You know, and A Course in Miracles talks about the real world, and it talks about heaven. And it calls the real world true perception, or the happy dream. But it comments that the real world is still a dream. This quote refers to the non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions. Non-perception and non-arising would be different than true perception. It would also be different than just listening to one voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, true perception and listening to only one voice could be called an awakening. It's certainly different than the ego's perception and the ego's voice. But that awakening is awakening to what the Course would call the real world or the happy dream, but still a dream. Quote 736 talks about the non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions. That would be beyond perception entirely, and that's what A Course in Miracles calls the awakening to heaven, the one in which it says God takes the last step. And that's what Buddha would have called nirvana, and that's what Michael Langford, and I'm sure others as well, but I heard the term from him, that's what Michael Langford would call Manonasa. So heaven equals nirvana equals Manonasa. I want to read from Michael's book, Manonasa, A Spiritual Autobiography. I'm going to read from chapter 6. Chapter 6 is also titled Manonasa. He begins, I'm not going to read everything in the chapter. I'm going to read some things that I've highlighted when I was reading the book for the first time. But I want to read just the first sentence. In January of 2004, M attained Manonasa. And M is how Michael Langford refers to, I'll call it Mike Langford, the seeker. He refers to it as M. In January of 2004, M attained Manonasa. And then he goes on to explain that in this particular chapter, he is going to do his best to explain what it is like just before Manonessa happens and what Manonessa is. And then he says, humans find it very difficult to understand that the body and the world and the universe disappear at the moment of Manonessa and never come back again in all of eternity. Again, listen to today's quote, the non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions. That would be heaven beyond perception entirely. Nirvana. Manonessa. So at the bottom of page 167 in his autobiography, Michael says, we will begin with looking at what happens just prior to Manonessa. There is a doorway to Manonessa. And he also comments that even to reach this doorway to Manonessa is extremely rare. He also says, of those humans who do reach the doorway to Manonessa, almost none of them goes through that doorway. He comments that all humans who reach the doorway to Manonessa are afraid to go through that door. Even those very few who do go through that door are afraid before they go through the door to Manonessa. The reason they are all afraid is the ego mind knows that if it goes through that door, it will come to its final end. The only identity a human knows is that ego mind. Thus, it appears to the human that if they go through that door, they will cease to exist. I just looked up and found the recording was stalled, so what I don't know is if it was just stalled on my screen or if you missed some of what I read. So let me just backtrack a little bit. All humans who reach the doorway to Manonessa are afraid to go through that door. The reason they are afraid is the ego mind knows that if it goes through that door, it will come to its final end. The only identity a human knows is that ego mind. Thus it appears to the human that if they go through that door, they will cease to exist. Now, one thing I want to point out about the quote is that, you know, the quote, as I've read many times, talks about this Manonessa, the non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions. But the quote ends with, this should be experienced. This should be experienced. I don't know, but, you know, if we are lucky enough to reach this doorway and if that fear arises that is being spoken of, it might be helpful to remember this should be experienced, Manonessa. Maybe that will help us to go forward, to allow this to occur instead of to run back to perception where we're comfortable. I'm also reminded of NTI Revelation right now, but in an hour I can't read everything that speaks of Manonessa, so I won't. But NTI Revelation also does a good job of talking about the end of perception and the fear that arises and the fact that we have the opportunity to choose trust or fear. And if we do choose fear, there will at some point be another opportunity because it says fear is never the last choice, right? Only Manonessa, only the final awakening is the last choice. Thus, it appears to the human that if they go through that door, they will cease to exist. The truth is, if they go through that door, the ego mind will cease to exist. All suffering and sorrow will end forever. The universe will disappear forever and never reappear. The body will disappear and never reappear. And never reappear either. The body will disappear and never reappear. However, they will still exist as the true infinite self. The non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions, this should be experienced. And then Michael has a couple of quotes in his book that talk about Manonessa, or the fear, at least, that comes just before we go through that final doorway. The first quote is from our friend Jan Fraser. Many spiritual seekers who say their wish is to awaken don't actually want what they believe they do. This becomes clear sometimes at the approach to the brink of what feels like a void, where the obliteration of the egoic self seems imminent. With a shocked recognition of what is being asked, the person will recoil. The scale of the loss, the dissolution of the familiar self, is beyond what was bargained for. So there's Jan Fraser talking about that fear. Here is a quote by Dr. David Hawkins. The underpinnings of the ego are its illusion that it is a separate self, and that the perceptions, which is the positionality, which its positionality produces, are real. When these structures are transcended, the ego brings up its last reserves. These consist of the threat of death or the threat of facing the total void of nothingness or non-existence. When this arises, it becomes rapidly clear that one is now forced to make a decision and choose. Into this gap in the flow of consciousness, there will arrive, beyond conscious recall, the knowingness of the sage, the Buddha, I never know how to say this word, Bodhisattva, the teacher, the avatar, the knowingness of the enlightened beings of all times. So this is nice. He's saying when we get to this final doorway and this fear arises, this knowingness is also here. And this is what course students might call the Holy Spirit, right? This knowingness. He continues, instructions will be known. Hold back nothing. Completely surrender life itself to God. Be willing to experience death. Refuse the void, for it is merely another illusion of the ego and has no reality. Truth has no opposite. Faith in the teachings of those who have realized the truth is crucial. They spring forth into awareness and strengthen the willingness to surrender and to experience the death that is simultaneously the birth of the true self. By invitation and surrender, death becomes an experiential reality. It can be fearful and intimidating for a brief moment. It is not like the physical deaths that occurred in previous incarnations when one left the body with great relief. This is actually the first and also the last time that real death can be experienced. Therefore, it need be gone through only one time ever. With the courage of conviction and the inspiration of the self and its teachers, one surrenders to the plunge. For a few moments, the last great fear erupts and one experiences what it really means to die completely as the door swings open to the splendor beyond all comprehension. The presence reveals that the infinite splendor is actually one's own self. Innate is the knowingness that one's reality is beyond all lifetimes, beyond all universes, total and complete. Michael says, what M felt when the door to Manonessa appeared was what all humans feel. Fear. And he has fear in all caps. What made M different from almost all humans is that he did not let that fear stop him from going through that door to Manonessa. He went through that door and Manonessa occurred. And he quotes Ramana Maharshi saying, the fear of death drove my mind inward. That's a part of Ramana Maharshi's description of his awakening experience. The fear of death drove my mind inward. And he has here Ramana Maharshi's complete description, but I want to move on to some of Michael's descriptions of Mananasa, so I think that's enough about the doorway. But again, remember the quote says, "The non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions, this should be experienced." And also remember that the Course, in choosing language, described this as heaven. And of course, heaven is an association that we have with the ultimate happy, the ultimate love, the ultimate paradise, eternal, the eternal ultimate, right? And that's the word that A Course in Miracles chose to put on this experience, this permanent experience of non-perception and non-arising of notions. Michael also has several quotes here where he's underlined and bolded things that the ego mind does not want to pay attention to, which again is reminding us that this, the dream of the world ends completely. This is beyond what the Course would call the real world, that there is no world at all, that all other things will cease to be, etc. And I think these quotes are great to read and contemplate. But again, I'm conscious that we only have an hour here. So I am moving on to some other things that Michael has pages and pages of quotes here to contemplate regarding Mananasa. And if you don't have Michael's book, Mananasa, A Spiritual Biography, I recommend it. You know, not only does he really have some wonderful things here for us to contemplate that help us in our own journey, but there's also some really cute stories about him. Some very cute stories about him. It's quite an enjoyable book. So I'm turning through all these pages, I'm turning through all of these quotes which can be contemplated. You could spend months contemplating these quotes. So I flipped over to page 195, which is where I want to begin sharing again related to today's quote, quote number 736 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. On 195, he says, now we're talking about what is Mananasa? What is heaven? What is nirvana? Right? Here we go. In the final reality, which is the only reality, there are no humans, no animals, no planets, no stars, and no earth. So that would mean that my experience last night, even though I had an experience of expanding, it was more like a vision, right? Even though in that vision I had an experience of expanding and being the universe and the stars were in me, there were stars. So that experience would not have been Mananasa, right? It was a spiritual experience that points to the truth of what I am, an expanding of awareness. But there were stars. In the final reality, which is the only reality, there are no humans, no animals, no planets, no stars, and no earth. I have this highlighted and circled. The final reality is infinite awareness, aware only of infinite awareness. The final reality is infinite awareness, aware only of infinite awareness. In all of eternity, the final reality, which is the true self, has never been aware of a human or a world or suffering of any kind. When the ego comes to its final end, the dream ends. and almost everything that the words in a dictionary points to disappear and never reappear. Now, if you happen to have the book Manonasa and you're trying to read along with me, I am kind of skipping because I'm reading only my highlights. But everything I just read was on page 195. Turning over to page 196. Upon awakening, the dream disappears. If you go to sleep tonight and dream of flying camels, when you wake up, the flying camels did not die. They just disappeared. So I told you I had two crazy dreams last night, too. One was that Jamie was going insane and that she was becoming dangerous. Like if I would walk in a room and she was there, she would attack me. And I was thinking, oh, no, maybe I have to put her to sleep now because she's losing her mind. And then the other dream was the dream that I had taken her to a very large dog park, and I had lost her. In fact, I lost her and Shiloh, but don't tell Danielle. I lost her and Shiloh at this dog park. But I woke up. Jamie's completely sane, I think, although she did go outside a lot last night. But she appears completely sane. Jamie is completely sane, and she is not lost, right? So the insane dog, the lost dog, completely disappeared. In fact, they never existed. Right? They never existed. So that's what he's saying here. Manonasa is like that. The world and all of the people and all of the animals and all of the trees and all of the stars completely disappear, and in fact, they never existed. And we know this is the same as the teachings of A Course in Miracles as well as the teachings of NTI. I think it's lesson 132 in the Course in Miracles workbook, which really emphasizes the fact that this world does not exist at all, right? If you go to sleep tonight and dream of flying camels or crazy Jamies or lost Jamies, when you wake up, the flying camels, the crazy Jamies and the lost Jamies did not die or were not found. They just disappeared. All right. Flipping over to page 198. The sage who has awakened from both the sleeping dream and the waking dream has no memory of ever having been human. Yet to one still dreaming, it will appear that the sage is still carrying on normal physical life. To one still dreaming, the sage will appear to be talking, eating, answering questions, etc. The one still dreaming creates a waking dream that includes the appearance of the body of the awakened sage. When you go to sleep at night and have a sleeping dream, all that appears in your sleeping dream is just your consciousness. All the people you communicate with and all the places are really just your own consciousness. They are not real. They are your consciousness appearing as people, places, events, and things. Therefore, what they really are is one consciousness that has the ability to appear as everything in the dream. The example just given applies to the waking dream also. And the waking dream would refer to, of course, when we feel like we are not asleep, like right now. At 8:32 in the morning with my cup of coffee and speaking into the recorder, this is not the same dream as the dream last night when Jamie was crazy or Jamie was lost. This is the waking dream. Page 199. There is a description that is much closer to the truth of the final reality. The final reality never appears as the earth, humans, or almost anything that the words in the dictionary point towards. The final reality always remains as it is, and there has never been a human, planet, or almost anything that the words in a dictionary point towards in the final reality. You can see why the ego would fear this. In fact, with the ego mind, with the mind of a human, is what I mean, with the mind of a person. When I read these descriptions of Manonessa, I don't even want it. And this is because I love people. I love animals. I love trees. I love experience. Remember when Ellie Ruzdar was with us, she talked about how most people are still experience seekers. What we want is good experience, happy experience. And Manonessa is beyond experience entirely. And for me, admitting that there is this mind that feels like a me, that does not want this, is very important to admit. Because that mind that feels like me is what's going to experience that fear of non-existence. Whenever this final doorway is presented, it doesn't seem at all helpful to deny this me that does not want Manonessa. Because it seems to me, in my reason, and remember in A Course in Miracles it uses the word reason and Holy Spirit as equal. As the same, synonymous. It seems to me in my reason that if I deny this part of me that doesn't want anything to do with what's being described here, if I deny that part of me, if I'm not alert to it, aware of it, that part of me will actually have more power when it rises up at the doorway with fear shouting, no. Go back to the people, back to the animals, back to the trees, back to the flowers. So admitting that this is here, this me that does not want this, seems like a genuine and helpful honesty. At least that's how it feels to me. And it is most definitely here. I mean, maybe you can find your me that doesn't want this either. Listen to this. Let me turn back. I think this other description really made it clear. Let's see. In all of eternity, the final reality, which is the true self, has never been aware of a human or a world or suffering of any kind. Well, that part may sound a little more desirable, no suffering. Let me read this description. In the final reality, which is the only reality, there are no humans, no animals, no planets, no stars, and no earth. Okay, that triggers in me the part of me that does not want that. In the final reality, which is the only reality, there are no humans. No Jasmine, no Ron, no Danielle, no Jacqueline, no Ken, no Lynn, no Jay, no Michael, no Mama, no Daddy, nobody. No animals, no Jamie, no Shiloh, no deer, no bear, no birds, no bull snakes, no planets. Last night I looked out and I saw something red in the sky and I thought, oh, that must be Mars. No Mars. No expansion and experiencing myself as the stars and the planets, because there are no planets. no stars, and no earth. Nothing. In the final reality, which is the only reality, there are no humans, no animals. He says no planets, but I also want to add no plants, no trees, no flowers, no grass, no rocks, no streams, no lakes, no ocean, no mountains, no stars and no earth, no sunsets, no sunrises, no cool breezes, no warm sun, no sunshine on my shoulders, no Rocky Mountain highs. There's a part of me that says, I don't want that. In fact, it says, that's, right now, that sucks. Right now, that feels sad, but I can see how if it was right here, it would be fear instead of sadness. The sadness is from a distance. The fear would be when it was a present possibility. So back to page 199. One can use the example of a movie theater. In some places, this may be called cinema. The light inside the light bulb in the projector represents the final reality, or in other words, the true self. The film represents thoughts, feelings, emotions, the body, the five senses, etc. On the screen, a world is seen. However, there is the light which is inside the projector. However, inside the light, which is inside the projector, and remember, he said the light is the final reality or the true self. Inside the light, there is no world, no movie, no people, etc. When you wake up from the sleeping dream, where did the world and the people you dreamed about go? They did not go anywhere. They were never really there, even while dreaming. When you wake up from the waking dream, which happens when the ego comes to its final end, the planets, people, animals, plants, stars, etc. disappear. I told Michael when I met him at his near his home in April that after reading and contemplating this chapter on Mananasa in his autobiography, you know, that I couldn't find anything there I wanted. And that is, of course, referring to the me that's going to kick up the fear. And my experience when I first read this, I think I might have read it in the late afternoon or something, because my experience was, I even wonder, what the heck am I doing on the spiritual path? You know, like, what am I working towards or seeking towards? I don't want this. Better to go hiking. Hiking offers a lot more of what I want than this Mananasa thing. And so I felt kind of disillusioned for the rest of the afternoon and the evening. But when I woke up in the morning, not because of anything that the ego wants, not because this mind, this human mind decided, okay, I do want it, because this part of the me, this part of me that does not want Mananasa still does not want Mananasa. I don't think it will ever want Mananasa. But the calling that it comes from beyond this was stronger. And I can't say why. It seems somewhat miraculous to me that I should contemplate something that I have, that I do not want, all caps, I do not want, all caps. But remember, that's just a part. That's just what I appear to be. Right? It's just a part. So beyond that, what I appear to be, which is like an overlay over what I really am. beyond that what I appear to be, which does not want this, there's a real me, there's a true self. And that's where the calling comes from. And somehow that calling was stronger. The I don't want this, you could say, lives in the head. The calling comes from the core of the heart. And so they can both be present simultaneously. But the calling feels stronger, like a magnet, a bigger magnet. That's why I played the song that I played at the beginning. Behold, behold, an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold. And that ancient voice is in this quote. The non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions, this should be experienced. We often hear that the ego or the person or that I, that me, does not awaken. It has no interest in this. It has no interest in this at all. And again, I trust that when faced with it, when it's an absolute present possibility that there can be no people, no animals, no plants, no stars, no ocean, no creeks, that it's just going to experience the fear of annihilation. But that calling is saying this should be experienced. And last night when there was that moment of complete silence, the only thing I heard was my own gasp at the beauty of it. Interestingly, my eyes were closed, and so there was also, you know, there were no objects to see or anything at that point, and then there was no voice in the head, so that may have been as close to what this is speaking about as we can experience with the mind, with the observer. And it was beautiful. Infinitely beautiful. So it was a small taste that nothing can be heaven. Nothing can be nirvana. Nothing can be pure bliss. Right now, I don't think I'm going to continue reading any more from Manonessa, only because it doesn't fit directly with this quote. But I want to say that there's some wonderful stuff in this book and in this particular chapter. Like on page 204 and 205, Michael talks about how if after Manonessa, if after that final awakening, if after the final end of the ego, if there is no world, you know, nobody, how is it that we see a sage? How is it that we see a Michael Langford, a Nisargadatta Maharaj, a Ramana Maharshi? And he gives some great, great illustrations to help us understand that, at least to some degree. But that doesn't fit exactly with this quote, so I'm going to put this book aside, Manonessa, A Spiritual Autobiography, and I'm going to go back to the quote and then look at the journal entry. The quote, number 736, the non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions, this should be experienced. All right, let me look at the journal entry. That was written on June 20th, 2013. Don't stop. even if extreme happiness sets in. Don't stop letting go of ego. When one stops letting go, accumulation occurs. Accumulation occurs. And even though I know what the word accumulation means, I'm feeling to look it up in the dictionary, so I'm going to just do that. There may be a reason. Ah, yeah, there is a reason. My dictionary says the acquisition or gradual gathering of something. Gradual gathering of something. So when the journal entry says that if we stop letting go of ego, accumulation occurs, it's referring to the gradual regathering of ego. The gradual regathering of identification with thoughts and perceptions. And I think maybe, I don't know this, well, maybe I do know this. I won't say I don't. It feels intuitively like maybe I do. I think maybe we can see this happening sometimes. We can see people who have made great strides in letting go of ego, great strides in clarity, in true perception. And then for whatever reason, maybe they feel like they've achieved, they feel accomplished, they feel arrived. But for whatever reason, maybe they stop the practice that got them to that point, and they begin to live as the one who has achieved, the one who has accomplished, the one who has arrived. And then the ego begins to sneak back in. And you can see that ego even though they can't. You can see their interest in followers or their interest in acquiring money or properties or their interest in selling books, their interest in being the teacher, sometimes their interest in sex, controlling and manipulating others. And all of that, those are the fingerprints of the ego, right? Somehow they still have the glow of how far they went. And yet this very strong ego is there too. And it can be very confusing to us. All we need to know is to remain the humble student until there is no world, till there are no people, no animals, no plants, no stars. Don't stop, this journal entry says. Don't stop. Even if extreme happiness sets in, the real world, the happy dream. The bliss of not being tortured by thoughts like we once were. I think that's actually called the peace that passeth understanding. The sattvic way of being. Clearly more clear than most individuals in the world. And that's not said with judgment. That's just obvious. It's obvious we when you are not bothered by the things that other humans are bothered by. It's obvious when you are in acceptance of what other people are in strong resistance to, and they feel they need to change and control and manipulate. It's obvious when you're freer than the people around you. You see that. But if you still see the people around you, even if you see them as innocent and equal and beautiful, and your mind cannot judge them anymore, it just doesn't. If you still see a world, if you still see people, if you still see Jamie over there sleeping, like she always does when I'm teaching, don't stop. Don't stop, even if extreme happiness sets in. Don't stop letting go of ego. When one stops letting go, accumulation occurs. And back to the original quote, the non-perception of objects and the non-arising of notions, this should be experienced. Heaven. I think I have a song called Heaven. Why don't we end with that? Let me search for it. It's a beautiful song. I think it was originally by the Talking Heads, but this is Jessica Lurie. Where did it go? Oh, here it is. Let's listen to it. it is time for me to go. So it's been great being with you in this way, even though in a way I wasn't with you. You were with me in the heart as I did this teaching. And I'll be back live next Sunday night. Bye-bye.